The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. And if that wasn't enough, Hercules Gomez and Sebastian Salazar with us as well to reflect on what happened last night in Nashville. In case you missed it, let's take you through the highlights, shall we, of the US men taking on Canada. Is, of course, World Cup qualifying. US still in search of their first goal, first win. 14 minutes into this one, and it'd be Cole Larin with the opportunity to make it 1-0. Nice work here. Larin, though, denied by a good save.
Well, it's a good combination with him and Larin and Alphonso Davies, but good save from Turner, as you said.
Best chance for the US in the first half fell to Christian Pulisic, denied by the post.
It's a good ball from the right-hand side from Brendan Aaronson. It's almost kind of falling over, can't quite sort out his feet. In the end, hits up the post and out.
10 minutes into the second half then, that elusive opening goal would finally come for the US. It was a good move. Brendan Aaronson with the finish.
The one piece of good passing and good movement from the middle to the front. I mean, look at the run and look at the way to pass, and then it's an easy finish for Aaronson.
The lead would only last 7 minutes, so Alphonso Davies using his pace, playing it into Cole Larin, and it's 1-1.
If you're even with Alphonso Davies, you're not even anymore. He's going to leave you behind. And John Brooks, hey, optional defender in the middle of the six-yard box, tapping from my kind of range.
And that really just left the US winded. They offered nothing much after that, and it would finish. The US won, Canada won. Herc, I want to start with you. What would be disappointing from a US perspective is the fact that when Canada scored that equaliser, there was absolutely no response.
No response all night. Very little idea or creativity. You knew Canada was going to come in, sit in, but disability, not having the ability to break in those lines, penetrate beyond that back four, or those two lines of four, I should say, was dumbfounding for me. You had Tyler Adams, Sebastian Legette, you had players in the midfield that weren't creative, Christian Pulisic on the outside who could never get going. The little that he could do to show some danger wasn't enough. He still looked like he was a bit sluggish coming off of that positive COVID result, coming off those maybe 10 or plus days where he wasn't active. It looked like a U.S. men's national team with little idea. And if you're playing against a team that's going to sit in, bunker, and try to counter and be very effective in the counter, you played right into that. It was a little chauffeur from the U.S. men's national team. And quite frankly, I wish I could say I was surprised, but we saw this team win two finals this summer. And in none of those games, the semifinal versus Honduras, the final versus Mexico and the CONCACAF Nations League, nor the whole Gold Cup, were we coming away saying, you know what, this is a well-worked team. This is a team that's structured. This is a team that knows exactly who they are. And everything that Greg Berhalter and this coaching staff tried to sell us about that proactive, possession-based football, that brand, yeah, there it is. No, they won those games via the old regime way. You know, set pieces, fight, grit, spirit. Not this, we're going to be better than the opponents. They skated by, but they won. Well, that's not wasn't the case. Not against El Salvador and certainly not against Canada.
What was the one main problem, Ali, last night? What was the one thing you point at and go, this is going to be a real concern going forward?
Well, first of all, if indeed you're going to play a possession game that Hercules is talking about, then the speed of play of that possession has to be much, much quicker. It was all so very predictable. And so it's from point A to point B to point C. You don't skip lines of passing. You don't skip lines of defending. There is no change of pace. You look at a team that is playing almost stuck in second gear all the time. Yeah. The one time, and really the one player that shows some sort of spirit or willingness to change the pace of the game was Brendan Aaronson, where he forces a turnover, and then you see a sprint. God forbid, a sprint. A sprint into the box to get it into the 18-yard box, to get on the end of a cross, to go and score a goal. You don't see enough players in this team with that change of pace, with the willingness to sprint, to sprint in behind, to sprint to get into spaces so that you can combine, so that you can speed up the pace of play. If you slow it down against a team that is comfortable sitting behind the ball, you're doing them all sorts of favors. And it became very predictable and very easy and very simple for Canada to defend. So much so that if you hear Canada talking about this game post-match, they're thinking it was disappointing yes. that they only got a point.
Yeah.
That in itself tells you the story of the game. That Canada, coming into Nashville, says, you know what? This is a game that maybe we should have won.
That is the most telling of the statements I think anyone has made so far, Steve.
Well, do you know, when you're at home, whether it's a World Qualifier, a Champions League game, whatever it may be, at the start of the game, the opposition should be thinking, right, they're going to come at us and they're going to try and pen us in. That didn't happen. Mm. Canada was the team that started. And the other thing is, when you're the home team, and you lose a goal with nearly 20, 30 minutes to go, again, you're going to expect the home team with the crowd behind them to get after the opposition again. Those are two huge parts of the game that before a ball's kicked, you think can happen or should happen. Neither of them were even close to it. Not even close. And the stadium was silent when the equaliser went
out. It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the crowd... You expect the crowd to try and help the team, but the crowd didn't help the team.
Yeah.
And what the team did on the field didn't get the crowd going either. So that's got to be worrying. You know, they've shown that recently away from home, the US are struggling to get results. And if you turn up and you can't dominate the opposition to start with and you can't rally when the question's asked, my goodness, there's not a lot of positives there.
Seb, are you in full-on crisis mode now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's disastrous on every level. Like the guy said, it's disastrous because you're at home. It's disastrous because you should be getting Christian Pulisic back and bringing him back into the fold in a positive way. It's disastrous because you squander what was a great home field advantage there in Nashville. And if you want to talk about the individual matchups, I mean, it's a huge opportunity missed as well. The U.S. didn't stack up well against Canada. Greg Berhalter didn't stack up well against John Herdman. Christian Pulisic didn't stack up well against Alphonso Davies. And I think the worst part of this result for the U.S. is it puts the pressure now on the game against Honduras, especially for the manager, Greg Berhalter. If we're going to compare him at all to the last manager and when the pressure was put on him in the last qualifying cycle, it's about the same time. So I think this makes the Honduras match a must win.
But you won the Nations League.
And the Gold Cup.
Herc will tell you what that's worth.
Herc, going forward right. here, Sebi said, if you don't get a result against Honduras, Berhalter's got to go.
Well, I'm hearing a lot it's a must-win for the U.S. men's national team. I don't know if it's a must-win for the U.S. men's national team, but it's definitely a must-win for Greg Berhalter. Let's not forget how he got this position. Let's not forget about the 13-plus months lost. Let's not forget about what they sold us that this U.S. men's national team will be. Let's not forget where these players play. These are Champions League players, some of the best teams in the world, some of the best leagues in the world. And these same players were the ones who said, 9-point week, we want to dominate this region. That didn't look dominant to me. That looked insecure at best. This is a team now that, I mean, we heard Christian Pulisic himself say, you know, maybe we need new ideas. If that's not on Greg Berhalter, I don't know what is. So must win for the U.S. men's national team. I think it's very forgiving the way you've got 12 more games after this. But Greg Berhalter, that's a different story.
Is everyone just a bit overexcited about the quality of this side, Ali? If you put Christian Pulisic aside, of course, Gio Reyna was out injured. Really, out of the players that were out there, who stands out? Who do you think, yeah, he's the guy who's going to take us forward?
Well, that in itself is a huge question that has not been answered. But I would suggest that on the heels of the success that you just mentioned, Nations League, Gold Cup, people here got really excited. Oh, we're beating Mexico all the time. Yeah. Hey, look at us. Right. These are the same people that now are turning around and saying, you know, it's just inexperience and youth in this team. Oh, really? Because it wasn't inexperience and youth when you were winning Nations League or inexperience and youth when you were winning Gold Cup. So it's inexperience and youth now when you go and play El Cuscatlán in El Salvador, and apparently inexperience and youth when you cannot win at home in Nashville. I'm not buying it. See, you cannot tell me that John Brooks is not experienced enough. Mm. You cannot tell me that Tyler Adams is not experienced enough, or that Christian Pulisic is not experienced enough, or Serginho Dest, or DeAndre Yedlin. And the names keep coming and coming and coming. So forget this whole idea that this team is inexperienced and young. It's one thing to be young. It's another thing totally different to be inexperienced. Kylian Mbappe is young. He's not inexperienced. Mm. Erling Haaland is young. He's not inexperienced. And within this team, Christian Pulisic is young but not inexperienced. And so at some point you have to say, hey, how about it? How about you deliver a performance? You just came from an underwhelming performance against El Salvador away from home, and people were buying into the whole rhetoric of, it's not easy. It's not easy to win in CONCACAF. It's not easy to win away from home in CONCACAF. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll buy into that argument. I've experienced Central America. I've experienced South America. I know it's not easy. So I'm going to buy that argument. Well, what's the argument to play at home in Nashville, at home against Canada, a team that you should be better and that you were winning the game, and yet you were not able to secure the 3 points. Too many excuses for too many players when it's time to deliver. And this group of players in this World Cup qualifying cycle, and I know it's only two matches in, they have not delivered, and now they have a real test away from home against Honduras.
It's one thing to say that your players are young and inexperienced, and if you want to go along with that, even though they do play with some big recognised clubs in Europe, but I would suggest, again, the worrying thing for me is the most experienced are supposedly your rock. Your anchor at the back, Brooks, was absolutely lost. Mm-hmm. He was too high when he should have dropped. He dropped when he should have been high. He could not have got a decision right if somebody had told him what to do through an earpiece. And he's supposed to be your rock. I've been told that the defence, this is the guy who's going to organise it. This is the rock. This is the anchor. This is our man. I'll tell you what. Going away to Honduras, Greg Berhalter is must be a worried man. He should be a worried man.
Here's the other thing, right? And we haven't spoken about this just yet. Even before the game started, they were already in trouble. In the sense that Weston McKennie, who's supposed to be one of the faces of this team, apparently, somehow, can't figure out that there are protocols in place that you have to follow. And I would suggest, okay, you know what, maybe it was an oversight. Maybe something that he didn't quite take care of himself and the COVID protocol was not followed. And perhaps I give him an excuse, give him a pass. But no, this guy's a repeat offender. Mm. Did it with Juventus. Missed a game against Torino in Serie A, and now he's doing it with the national team. It's inexcusable. It's unacceptable. It cannot happen. If this is one of the faces of your team, it's saying a lot that this guy cannot be available because he breaks a COVID protocol. That in itself, if this were a country that really, really, truly followed this game the way that they follow in other places, he would be in the front page of every newspaper and being pointed at and signaled as one of the reasons as to why the U.S. national team is in trouble. But because here, things just kind of get swept under the rug, and just people are just kind of saying, well, yeah, he broke a COVID protocol. No, there's more to it than that. It cannot happen. It's a World Cup qualifier. It's unacceptable. It's your national team. You should not be doing that.
What's the latest with him, Herc?
He's gone. He's going to go back to Italy. Jackson Yule will replace him. Serginho Dest is out with an injury. But all we know as of this moment is if it was enough broken protocol to send him home. It's ridiculous because he was one of the players before these string of three games even started. It was talking about how they want to be dominant in this region. They don't just want to win. They want to dominate teams. The arrogance of this group and almost of a lot of the fan base and pundits are thinking that you're just going to walk into CONCACAF and roll through teams. You're a team that just didn't qualify for the last World Cup, but two tournaments got you feeling high and mighty. You're talking about dominating. You're talking about being the top dogs in CONCACAF. You're talking about a 9-point week. And here we are, 2 points after two games.
How are you feeling about all of this, Seb, regarding Weston McKennie?
I think I would pose the question actually back to Stevie and Ale. Like, as a manager going forward with your selections, as a teammate going forward with your selections, you know, you guys mentioned it. You know he has a history. He's done it before. He knows the rules. Can you trust him? because now what's at stake is not just his participation maybe in a World Cup, but yours and the national team's. So I think the question really now is for the federation, the manager, the teammates to say, like, can we trust this guy moving forward? Is his skills, is everything that he brings to the table worth it? Because I know in pro sports, you make those judgments in a locker room. But I think that's a fair question to be asked.
This is dead easy. From a coach's point of view, it's dead easy. Because, number one, what has Weston McKennie done for the USA? I mean, what has he done? He hasn't done anything. But what he did by not following protocol is put the rest of his team in jeopardy. Mm. Mm. Not just for this one game, but for them maybe having to go back to their own teams and having to quarantine for 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever their protocols are.
Right.
So this guy has got no interest in anything or anybody other than himself. And so the fact that he hasn't done anything for you on the field makes it dead easy to go, you know what? Bye. See you later. Once you turn yourself around, then we might think about you. But otherwise, off you go.
As a teammate, you turn the page on him, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to turn the page simply because you have a task in hand. You have to go to Honduras. So, look. Hey, Weston. Honestly, if you can't behave, if you can do the basic things to make sure that you're available to play, that tells me that you're not really all that interested. And if you're not all that interested, we don't need you, all right? Whenever you feel like perhaps you're interested to come back and play and you actually showcase some respect for the jersey, for the flag, for the United States of America, for your national team, then we'll talk then. Up until that happens, then forget it. See you later. Let me see if the guys that are here are willing to fight for me so that we can go and play in Honduras and get a result that we need.
Let's take a look at the standings. Good news is the US are undefeated at the moment, of course. Back-to-back draws.
Very positive.
Well, why not? Put a bit of a spin on it. Sebi, what happens if they lose to Honduras?
Oh. I mean, I think, look, the last qualifying cycle around, Jurgen Klinsmann, who they had invested a lot more time and money in, by the way, than Greg Berhalter, was let go 2 games into 10. So 3 games into 14 is further into the cycle than that. I mean, if you don't believe that Greg Berhalter can turn this around, and maybe, you know, Herc will give me an example, I'm sure Ale or maybe Stevie can give me an example of evidence that suggests right now that he can turn this around. If they do lose to Honduras, and they haven't lost there yet, I think it's important to say that. I don't know if you can put a second World Cup qualification in jeopardy. Like, that's what's at stake here. You don't have. I know they say, oh, there's 12 more games to be played, but those next three are coming awfully quick.
Here's the thing, Herc. Has the U.S. going to Honduras got a coach, got a group of players that have that bounce back ability after this poor defeat against Canada? Do they have the character to go there and get a win?
We're going to find out, because I remember talking about this, you know, a while ago, even with you guys, about Greg Berhalter didn't have a marquee win, and then he beat Mexico in that CONCACAF Nations League final. But if you remember that final, they were clearly played off the park. I mean, it was set-piece goals. It was the way of the old regime that won them that game. They won. That was all that's important, because it's a final. Then they limp through Gold Cup and do what they did. Oh, it's a C team, but it's still the same coach, still the same mantra, still the same build. I don't know how they go into San Pedro Sula, which is a crazy atmosphere for you to play in. You can't dribble the ball. It's very difficult. It's muggy. The opponent is very Jekyll and Hyde. That could be a very dangerous team. I don't know how, rightfully so, we could sit here and say this team's going to go in and get a result. It's a must-win game for Greg Berhalter. Now, I will remind this, Seb, that Jurgen Klinsmann was coming off the semifinal loss in Gold Cup, and there was a little more context behind that. It wasn't just 2 games. And those 2 games, by the way, were the most difficult games you had going into that hex. You had Mexico at home and Costa Rica away, where you've never won. So I would also say he had an uphill battle, Jurgen Klinsmann, in those first 2 games that Greg Berhalter doesn't in these first 2 games.
I always find this hilarious. Klinsmann had good will built up. You can't ignore that.
I always find this hilarious. All the way through everything, since Greg Berhalter took over to the first qualifying game, right? It's all about an identity. How we play. Let's do this. Isn't that lovely? Let's get everybody in sync and moving and flowing. Oh, it's so lovely. How was about you just get a winning mentality? I couldn't care less if you stick the ball from one end at one box to the other. You get a winning mentality. And once you get the winning mentality, then maybe you can start expanding your game. It's not the other way around. That's where you start. You win, you win, you win, regardless. Don't care how you play. And then you start trying to be clever. Then you start expanding and try and play some nice football. Not the other way around.
To your point, Stevie, the word that keeps coming to mind is toughness.
Right.
Does this team have the toughness? And it's not, hey, can we run for 90 minutes? No, no. The mental toughness of having to fight through adversity, of having to fight through different things, where you see El Salvador and Cuscatlan running, pushing, shoving, coming, going. Lesser team in terms of talent, but matching, and not only matching the U.S., but beating them in effort, in commitment. And look, we're going to fight for everything. And this is exactly what's going to happen in Honduras. They're going to fight you for everything because they know you're in trouble. And for them, you coming down there to play, this is their moment in the sun. This is their opportunity. This is their chance. So it's going to be tough, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to struggle, and you're going to have to embrace that struggle. So in order to win, in order to push through that threshold, you have to show some toughness. And this team hasn't quite shown that just yet.
Is this team too nice, too soft, Herc?
Yeah, absolutely. Look at last night. They're at home, 60th minute. They look gassed. And nobody's pushing each other. The true leaders of this team, there's no response from them. It was just kind of going through the motions. How are we going to break them down? You're looking at the bench, you know, hey, what's going on? It's not like, let's get it together. Let's do this. Your captain, Tyler Adams, who I think it should be the captain of this team, ruins a breakaway, a transition moment, a goal, because he wants to hit Mark Anthony Kay. It's not only are you not showing that toughness, but you're not showing that emotional intelligence.
Meanwhile, after a crisis in Mexico for the summer, they've kicked off things rather lovely. Of course, the penalty last night proving to be decisive against Costa Rica. Was it a pen, Herc?
Yes. About took Guardado's knee off.
Hey! That'll do it. 100% a penalty.
No, it can't be because he put his hands up in the air.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count. Overall, yeah, this is exactly. It's a dream start for them, Herc, after a terrible summer.
Yeah, terrible summer, but I'm sure Seb can elaborate on this. It's the same Mexico we've always seen, except this time they score the goal when they need to. They win the game they're supposed to win. I mean, it was the 89th minute goal, Henry Martin, in El Estadio Azteca against Jamaica when Jamaica tied it up. We've seen that before. They started off the 2014 World Cup cycle 0-0 versus Jamaica, put them behind the eight ball. They actually had to go in to that qualifying game against New Zealand to qualify for the World Cup. They didn't want that this go-around. They scored that goal in the 90th, 89th minute against Costa Rica, who, by the way, look a shell of themselves. This team's in trouble. Did what they needed to do to win, the bare minimum, but it's a win. This team, the talent level's never been in discussion. The play has never been in discussion. It's actually getting it together and winning where you're supposed to win.
The Mexican side of your family, very happy, Seb.
Right, Herc shocker downplaying the value of the Mexican win there. Okay, I think it's a huge result. I can't overstate it.
Look how excited.
wait a second. Oh. You mentioned it, the Gold Cup and Nations League, those are two darts to the heart. You can't ignore what those meant. Those are finals lost. And then on top of that, let's be honest about what Mexico didn't have coming into this game. No Raul Jimenez, no Chucky Lozano. They didn't have Tecatito in the first game of the qualifiers. No Diego Lainez, no Hector Herrera. Those are like the best players on the team. So to win not just against Costa Rica, but against Jamaica as well. Come on. I mean, you can't ask more of a team. They didn't even have their coach for this game, and they still got it done.
These boys could talk all night, and they will do, fear not, on Football Americas, as always. You can check that out over here on ESPN+. But for now, Seb and Herc, thank you very much. God, Seb must have a lot of darts in his heart.
I know.
If the Nations League final is
taking it from everywhere.
It's a big heart.
Meanwhile, of course, the big talking point from the world of football yesterday was the shambolic scenes between Brazil and Argentina. This is what Scaloni, Argentina's manager, said. It makes me so sad. I'm not looking for guilty parties. Whatever happened or didn't happen, this wasn't the time to do it. We wanted to enjoy a game between the best in the world.
and it ends up like this. As a coach, I'm going to defend my players. If people come and say we want to take this guy or deport this guy, there was no chance of that, because at no time were we told we couldn't play the game. Well, let's welcome to the show now, shall we? Gab Marcotti. Gab, let's try and get the latest of what's going on between Brazil and Argentina. I suppose the first question is, where is the fault? Who is being blamed for this?
Well, Dan, we tried to piece it together on the Gab and Joe show with the excellent Gustavo Hoffman from ESPN Brazil. I wrote about it up on the website. It's incredibly complicated. The short answer is a lot of different parties are to blame. Certainly the Brazilian Health Surveillance Service, I think, has to shoulder some of the blame. The Argentine FA, those two, in my opinion, based on the facts we have right now, they shoulder most of the blame. But at every stage, you can go back and you can find others who are also responsible. CONMEBOL, the Brazilian FA, the Brazil's own government and federal police, all these people, when you look back, there's things that they could have done differently. But for me, the two main indictments were there was no need to go and run onto the pitch in that theatrical way in which they did. And the other thing, as far as the Argentine FA is concerned, regarding the, our own reporting from Gustavo Hoffman, there was a meeting the day before. They felt they had an agreement in place with Brazil Sanitation Service. And then afterwards, they were told very, very clearly that these four players, if you simply leave them in the hotel, if you don't send them out onto the pitch, we're going to go and sort this out after the game, and the game can go ahead. And still, they didn't do that. To me, that is, I don't want to say it's inexcusable, but that is certainly why I hold the Argentine FA more responsible than some of the other parties. I do say some, because from what we've seen, the Brazilian Health Surveillance Authority certainly didn't cover themselves in glory either.
I don't think many, Ali, on their CONMEBOL bingo card would have had this situation unfolding. Embarrassing, really.
Really embarrassing. And I've seen some things in CONMEBOL.
Yes.
Believe me when I tell you that I've seen some things that you kind of go, oh, man, we got to be better than this. But it's such a poor reflection on CONMEBOL, on FIFA, on Brazil, on Argentina, on the federations, on even on the health ministry. The fact that they have this guy just kind of walk out there, as Guy just said, theatrically on the field, that this was not resolved prior to getting to the stadium, that it didn't get to a point in which they would have said, listen, look, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. And these are the solutions that are in place, and this is how we're going to resolve it. Instead, we go full on, knee deep, elbow deep. Hey, everybody, warm up. Let's get ready. We're all excited. Here's the starting lineups. Here we go. We're excited. Brazil, Argentina. All right. No, it's not happening. That, it just shows so poorly. For those of us that are from South America, it's just the sort of thing that you just kind of go, come on, we have to rise above this sort of things. We cannot have this sort of behavior because it reflects poorly on our people, on how we do things, on how we carry ourselves, on how we do government, on how we do COVID protocols. It just reflects so poorly on everybody. And really, I mean, if there was anything that you point the finger at and say, man, how embarrassing can it be? That's how embarrassing it can be.
Yeah.
It was just awful
that,
to watch.
That decision after 7 minutes we're going to do
and
this.
I'm going to stand here, guys. And oh, here comes the police guy with the badge and the thing. The whole thing was just so clearly embarrassing.
Listen, I'll tell you who should be absolutely raging. The players. Because they've clearly their clubs didn't want them to go. And they've made a stand and said, I'm playing for my country. Now, at the very least, the Argentina FA should have made sure every single thing was in order before they stepped on a plane. Not just say, get on the plane, everything will be all right, don't worry about it. So now, if I'm a player, if I'm Martinez, I'm going back to Aston Villa, and I'm going to have to miss games now. And I'm missing games when I didn't even get to play because my FA made a complete mess of this. I'll tell you, if I'm one of those players, I am raging.
Not only Martinez as well, of course, a number of Spurs players also included in this mess, Gab.
Yeah, no question about it. And remember that, you know, in the case of these players, and here it's, they didn't have the club's permission to go. Now they didn't, the club didn't need, they didn't need the club's permission to go, but obviously this puts them in a weaker position. It should be said, I mean, on the back of what Ali said there, couldn't they have sorted this out beforehand? Of course. And I think this is one of the mysteries. And look, there's still a lot of stuff that we don't know. What we do know is that on Saturday, 24 hours before the game, they showed up at the Argentina Hotel, that is Brazil's health surveillance officials, and they had a meeting with the Argentine FA, with CONMEBOL officials, and with officials from the Brazilian FA. And they said, guys, we need to go and sort this out. What are we going to do? Now, when they left the meeting, certainly the Argentine FA, CONMEBOL, and the Brazilian FA, again, this is all not my reporting, it's Gustavo Hoffman's reporting, they felt that they had an agreement. They felt that they had a defined agreement in place that they could go ahead and play the game, and that after the match, they would go and deal with the situation. However, the next day, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, local time, around 3 hours before kickoff, the Brazilian health authority puts out that statement saying that, you know, those four players will be deported because they're not quarantining and they issued false statements and whatever. And this absolutely blindsided CONMEBOL. So the question here is, both sides, you know, either there was a massive misunderstanding after 4 hours of talking, or one of those two sides changed their mind or essentially is misrepresenting the facts. And that was kind of the real first blow where things could have different to have taken a different turn. The second time was at the stadium itself, roughly a half hour before kickoff, when the health people showed up with the federal police, and they told Argentina, they said, look, we can still salvage the situation if these four players do not play, if they're not in the match day squad, then you guys are going to be okay, and we'll deal with it after the game. At that point, again, reportedly, the Argentine FA said, these guys are here, they're my players, either we all play or nobody plays. And at that point, that's when the situation turned into the farce that we saw. It's going to be so difficult to go and unpick this because there's so many different versions of events. And again, and it's sad, but CONMEBOL basically passing the hot potato to FIFA and say, oh, well, FIFA, you're responsible for this. You figure out how to sort this out. And, you know, and again, and it's an indictment of CONMEBOL, too, because they were the people who were responsible for organizing this.
Farce is most definitely the apt word they use there, Gab. So, how things stand in CONMEBOL qualifying, Brazil and Argentina remain at the top of the table, despite the fact, obviously, that game was abandoned. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, Gab, we've got to talk about what happened between Guinea and Morocco. Almost unprecedented scenes here. For those who haven't been following it, just take us through what happened over the last 48 hours there.
Well, obviously, the qualifier was set to take place in Conakry, the capital, when essentially there was a coup, military on the streets, shots fired, people told to stay at home. The Moroccan team were in their hotel. It was unclear and unsure whether they would be able to leave the country. At one point, they came out and they said, well, there's a plane waiting for us at the airport. It's about an hour away, but we're not sure if it's safe for us to leave. Same thing with the refereeing crew. The situation appears to be somewhat calmer now, but obviously this is a case of real life intruding on World Cup qualifying, and I think all you can do is pray that everyone stays safe.
Goodness me, scary situation there. Meanwhile, European qualifying continues tomorrow. And of course, plenty of action to bring you. Ali, when you look at that list, What jumps out of you? What's the game you're thinking, yes, that's the one that I'm going to be focusing on?
Well, it's not Faroe Island against Moldova.
But Ali, I've had enough of your anti-Moldova rhetoric.
France-Finland.
Yeah.
And the reason... it's not so much because I want to watch Poyanpalo play or Timo Pukki. It's because I need to see something from France. I need to see something dominant. I need to see the World Cup champions. I want to see all this talent full display. And right now, while you have all the big names, you're not seeing the performances, nor are you seeing a team that fully, truly knows who they are and what they want to do. They seem to be scoring goals simply because, well, that guy's a good player. That guy's a good player. But there doesn't seem to be patterns of play. There doesn't seem to be things that they want to do out on the field and that they're fully executing those ideas. How about they put a full performance together? And at this point, they need one.
Yes.
It's more about, hey, qualifying to the World Cup. It's also putting performances together so you get to see the best version of yourself. The best version of France should dominate Finland. We'll see.
Stevie?
It's hard to look past France.
Yes. Listen, you don't have to. You can talk about France, Stevie. Ali hasn't taken it over for everyone. He doesn't have a monopoly on the choice.
The fact is, Deschamps is two losses away from losing his job because they play Finland twice. Finland are sitting second.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, then they have to go to Finland. That puts him in a whole lot of pressure. The other one, obviously, is Scotland. We're away to Austria.
But you're not going to qualify. You're done, aren't you?
No, we're not.
No, you're not. No, you're right. You're not going to qualify.
Just because I couldn't get a group against kids. Men against boys. Anyway, Scotland have to win against Austria.
Right.
Otherwise, done.
Right, so you're done.
Yes.
That's it. Gab, choose one that isn't France or Scotland.
I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me, but I think it has to be France and Finland, simply because of the stakes that are there. Finland with the two games in hand, you don't want to be in that situation where...
What about Netherlands-Turkey, Gab?
It's five games... Well, yeah, obviously that's the other big one. This is an extremely tight group. Holland got a big win against Montenegro because obviously they're up there in the mix as well. But you know, if you look at that group, there's easily still four teams that are very much into it.
When you think about that group is not only Turkey and the Netherlands, it's also Norway who are just kind of hanging out and just like, okay, you guys keep messing up over there, you keep messing over here. Yeah. We'll just win the games that we have to and give ourselves an opportunity.
Jan's just stood in the background brushing his hair.
Oh, that's beautiful hair.
That's it. Just a reminder, all of these games are available across our ESPN networks, the majority on ESPN, plus the aforementioned France against Finland on ESPN2.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. How's Sebi's blood pressure, do you think? Will this...
Well, I'm not sure because, see, he's upset about the United States, yes. But he's happy about Mexico. He's right. Conflicted, you know.
Yeah, he's got issues. He's a conflicted man in general.
He left up.
Be sure to check out Football Americas, and also be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. I'm Dan Thomas. Here's Ali and Stevie. It's Labor Day here in the US, which Stevie doesn't like.
Why wouldn't I?
You've been moaning about Labor Day all day.
Why?
Because people kept saying to you, have a nice Labor Day weekend, yeah, and that made you angry.
It doesn't mean bad.
It was angry, wasn't it?
I find it a little strange.
Why?
Well, it does.
People just want you to have a good time,
like,
Steve.
It's not like Christmas or something, a new year.
But why would someone say, have a nice Labor Day weekend, well, annoy you?
It doesn't annoy me. I just find it strange.
Really?
Yeah.
Remind me not to wish you have a good weekend.
Oh, man. Well done. It's so funny. When it's New Year's Eve and we're working, and everyone's like, Happy New Year, Stevie. Stevie goes, Doesn't like saying it.
I just feel weird, too.
Have Stevie or Ali ever played in a match that's been postponed so abruptly, like the Brazil-Argentina game?
No, but at one point we were supposed to play against North Korea in Venezuela. Ooh. And they lost their luggage, bags or whatever. And the game was all set and ready to go. Rights have been sold, sponsors and what have you. And they refused to play. And so I remember this because I had to go into the hotel, right, North Korea, and actually have a conversation. And I walk into this hotel room and this representative from their delegation, it's full on smoking going on, and I'm the only sort of English speaker from our delegation.
Okay.
And I remember, I don't know that I'm supposed to be the person.
Yeah, how come you were the spokesperson?
Who should be negotiating the outcome of this game. Eventually, they played with our second kit, our away uniforms, and we actually played the game, but it was, in order for me to go to their hotel, they had to take me off the team bus on the way to the game. So they stopped the bus on the side of the road, then I got in a sidecar, went to the hotel, negotiated, being able to play the game.
What a diplomat you were back in the day.
Well.
What was North Korea doing in Venezuela?
Okay. Those things I do not know. I was there to negotiate, play the game, and we play the game. We ended up playing twice against North Korea.
And Kim Jong-un playing?
Stevie.
Gab.
I can only tell you that we were there to play, and I happened to help the situation. That's all.
Gab, now that Hazard scored and Bale scored a hat-trick, will we see this form at Real Madrid, or was this an international one-time thing?
Can I just say, between your discussion of Labor Day and yes, North Korea, there's a distinctly political bent to the conversation so far. And I realize Stevie feels he's more management than labor, but anyway, I digress. Bale and Hazard. Bale scored a hat trick against Belarus two penalties and the scuff shot at the end. I don't think Bale's been poor this season. I think it seems like the light goes on, goes off for him. He's fit, he's not fit. It seems like he's fine. Now, whether he's going to be a big part of Real Madrid's plans this year, I don't know, given he has an expiring contract, and I'm not sure how much Ancelotti trusts him. Hazard is a different issue. If we can see the Hazard that we saw against the Czechs, and by the way, that was the least one-sided 3-0 win I think you're ever going to see. Czech Republic had a ton of chances, I thought. Then that is a bonus for Real Madrid. Real Madrid know they're on the hook for Hazard for another couple of years, so you might as well try to turn him around, get what you can out of him, keep him fit, and find a way for him to contribute. So out of the two, I would actually probably lean Hazard's way more so than Bale's.
Chances of Argentina winning the World Cup, Ali?
10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Thanks, Don.
Well, you said chances, I said 10%.
One for you, Dan. What state is your cool American accent from? Someone abused me on Twitter today when I tweet about cricket.
Yeah.
So I tweet about cricket and they're like, you know nothing about cricket, you're American.
Oh,
you are not.
No, I'm definitely not.
You're definitely not.
No, exactly. Stevie does a good American accent, don't you? You get all shy. Stevie.
But do you have an American accent?
I probably do, yeah. I think so.
No, you do to people who are not American.
No. I don't think so. I don't think I would go back to England and they'd go, oh, you're American.
Well, when I go home, people in my family go, oh, listen to you, you're American accent. I'm like, me, you're having a laugh. How'd you figure that out?
Well, yes, I know. I don't know how to figure that out. Stevie, which team looks best ready for World Cup right now?
Brazil.
For Marcotti, will you change your pinned tweet of Viali's book to promote Frank's book?
Ooh.
Well, with all due respect to Frank's book, which Stevie tells me is all about fitness and medicine balls and resistance bands and pommel horses and the like, I'm sure it's a great book, but the reason I pinned Viali's tweet is that A, I've written another book with him. I curated this book. I helped translate this book. It's about, you know, his journey with pancreatic cancer. So, and I've known him for a very long time, longer than Frank even. So probably not, no, unless Frank asked me very, very nicely.
What will your next book be about, Gab? Food, you gotta do a food book.
Oh, I probably should. I want to go back to being a restaurant critic.
Did you used to be a restaurant critic, Gab?
I don't know. I do not have... No, I don't. I didn't.
Oh,
didn't.
You could have spun us a great story then.
I don't want to bring up... I don't want to discuss food and restaurants and cuisines too much in Ali's presence because, of course, there's a history there. So, I have no idea what my next book will be. Maybe it'll be about Italy winning the World Cup.
Cab, if you do a food book,
yes,
I'll do one of your pages on well done steak.
Yes.
What you do is you get the grill at 1,000 degrees, blap it on, and then when it starts to smoke, it goes black. Turn it over.
Beautiful.
And then do the same process.
There's an image there. Gab and a pommel horse.
Right.
That's nice.
Final question, Stevie. If you played a game of 11 Stevie Nichols at your current fitness level,
it's not good.
It's not optimal.
Versus, get ready for this, 11 Dan Thomas at his athletic peak.
I'll tell you what I would do. I would make it fair, and 11 of me would have to get blindfolded as well. To give you a chance.
But you can't run, Stevie.
You don't have to run. Hold on a second. Have you ever heard the old line about let the ball do the work?
Right.
It's very true, Dan.
Yeah.
If you can keep the ball and control the ball and knock it around, what you do is you have 11 Dan Thomases running around chasing the ball.
But you'll have to
move. Like chickens without a head.
You'll have to move at some stage.
Yeah, but you'll have to move a couple of yards.
Steve, I'm worried about that.
You wouldn't get the ball.
No.
No.
I did hear a rumor, and I don't know. Please, you can verify this.
Yes.
That you've been working out.
I think working out is quite...
this is what I heard.
A complimentary term.
Okay.
Because I thought, well, kids are back at school.
Right.
Maybe get my fitness levels back up.
Okay, for this game.
So, which means you can run around more.
Exactly. So I went to like a fitness class thing.
Uh-huh.
I lasted 20 minutes before I walked out. It was one of those, you go rowing, and then you've got to go and do core stuff. And it just reminded me, I really hate being told what to do.
Oh.
Okay. Shut my neck there.
Yeah, so I won't be returning.
So you're not working out?
No.
So when are we going to see you in your physical?
No, I will do, just not.
Hey, it'd be one of them. It'd be living Stevie Nichols against Dan. She'd be like, oh. Right, Dan, come on, get it. Just give you a chance. Blindfolded on one leg as well.
I fancy my chances.
Could be a tight game.
Definitely.
Could be a tight game.
Yep.
I'm straight.
Yeah, of course, Steve. Look at the state of you. Right, that is it.
He's not in physical people.
We will be back. We'll be back tomorrow for more World Cup qualifiers, including Scotland against who?
Oh, big game, Austria.
Oh, dear.
Hello.